to this. We want to be happy, so we go looking for happiness everywhere. No stone left unturned, only to discover that we can't find lasting happiness. Because at the end of the day, happiness isn't what we're looking for. It's joy that we're really after. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today, we're going to open God's Word together to discover afresh and anew the blessing of His righteousness, peace, and joy. And look, do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes, I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. Over the last few weeks, we've been having a discussion on this program about the promise that Jesus made, an outrageous promise, in fact, of an abundant life. Here it is. Have another listen. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I guess the reason it's so outrageous is that firstly, Jesus is saying that his purpose in coming to this earth, in stepping out of heaven into the physical dimension, taking on flesh, becoming a man, dying on the cross, rising again, all that, the reason he did that was what? That we may have life and have it abundantly. And it is for us because this promise is made in the context of a parable where Jesus is the good shepherd, the true shepherd, and we are his flock. It's a beautiful picture with a deep and rich meaning to the agrarian audience to which he said it back in the first century. An abundant life. But what does that mean? Had a student ask me that once when I was lecturing at a Bible college. I was rabbiting on about this abundant life thing as though the idea of an abundant life was completely obvious to everyone. And one of the students, a woman in her 60s, asked me, she said, "But Bernie, what is an abundant life?" You know something? I think that's a really, really good question. A little while ago, we aired a teaching series called Financially Secure Once and for All. It was all about the fact that God means us not to find our security in money and wealth, but in Him, however much we may have or may not have when it comes to financial wealth. Now, I was interested in the response of one man to that. He sent me a sharp email declaring that he couldn't support anyone who preaches the prosperity doctrine. You know, that false idea that if you believe in God in the right way and give lots of your money away to whoever's preaching that day, you will be rich. God will make you healthy and wealthy and wise with a big house, a big car, a great job on easy street. It's a false idea, and we should have nothing to do with that because it puts our own wealth at the heart of things rather than God's glory. And that is not, simply not, what we're called to do. Anyhow, the point of me telling you this story is that the moment I opened my mouth about financial security, the man who wrote me that sharp email assumed that I was talking about monetary blessing from God. But that was, in fact, the complete opposite of what I talked about in that teaching series. What I was talking about was God's security, irrespective of the size of the bank balance we might or might not have. And I wonder whether that isn't the obvious thing to fall into, precisely the same wrong assumption when we start talking about an abundant life in Jesus. That abundance must mean, well, healthy, wealthy and wise, easy street. And so people look at their lives and think, well, you know, I don't fall into the healthy, wealthy and wise category. I'm on struggle street, not easy street. My life definitely is not all good or hunky-dory. Therefore, this promise must either be false or for someone else. You see my point? We can be like that man who sent me that email. We judge Jesus wrongly. We judge what he said from a worldly standpoint rather than from a godly one. Back in the early church in the first century, a controversy arose about what foods they could eat and what drinks they could drink. Remember, early Christians mostly came out of Judaism, with its legal demands about a whole range of things, including food and drink. And the Apostle Paul was addressing this controversy in a letter to the Roman church. And the crux of what he had to say was this, Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He said, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." In other words, boys and girls, stop looking at this whole thing from a worldly viewpoint, because in so doing, you're completely missing the point. God's kingdom isn't a physical thing. It's something that happens inside you when you lay your life down, lay down your worldly desires, lay down everything you want for Jesus. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at each of those three today, starting right now with righteousness, because that's the heart of an abundant life. Righteousness is a word that's bandied around a lot in Christian circles, at least, and used almost never anywhere else. So what does it actually mean, righteousness? It means a right standing with God. It means the state that we should be in, a condition in which we are acceptable to a holy God. Now, we've all sinned and rebelled against God. That means there's an enmity, a hostility between us and God. But the moment we accept Jesus, the forgiveness we have through his sacrifice on that cross, there is peace. Because the debt for our sin, which is death, has been paid by him. And now through our faith in him and what he's done, God sees us as righteous. Just as a criminal who's paid his debt in prison, once released, is now right with the law, so we are right with God through our faith in Jesus. That's why elsewhere in his letter to the Roman church, Paul has this to say, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we now stand. See, we're back where we should be. We are justified, made right through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so we have peace with God through him. The war is over. The battle is over. The enmity between us and God is over. The running away from God is over. And then does Jesus say, well, okay, now keep on doing all the things you were doing wrong. That's fine. That's not a problem. No. Just as he said to the woman caught in adultery, whom the crowds had condemned and wanted to stone to death. In John chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Now go your way, and from now on, do not sin again. So we're forgiven, back in relationship with God, and then we're called to go and live out our lives and stop doing the things that had caused the problem in the first place. That's righteousness right there, something that God gives us as a free gift through Jesus Christ, a right standing with him, and then something that we're called to live out in our lives. That's what Jesus came to give us, an abundant life, a life that begins with God's righteousness given freely to us and that then continues in that righteousness. And there, right there, is the blessing. Because sin has its consequences. Sin is the thief that comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life, real life, in all its abundance, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just as we take this short break, I'd like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could also pray for one or two others and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please, let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. All right, let's head back into God's Word to see what else he has for us today. We're looking today at Jesus' outrageous promise of an abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, said Jesus, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Righteousness, we looked at that before the break, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those three are, in a nutshell, what the kingdom of God brings to our lives. They're a fountain of blessing. And that little troika is put together not by me, but by the Apostle Paul in dealing with a controversy over religious rules to do with food and drink that was raging back in the first century church. And in responding to that in his letter to the Romans, he's saying, guys, look, you've got a hold of the wrong end of the stick. Don't you get it? The kingdom of God isn't about food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the context. And that's why we're focusing on it today, because in exactly the same way as some people were taking a human, worldly perspective of God's kingdom over a bunch of religious rules back then, you and I can easily take a worldly view of this promise of an abundant life through our consumer-oriented 21st century mindset. I mean, when you hear the promise of an abundant life, what's the first thing that springs to mind? Enough money to get by, being able to have a few of those luxuries, easy street. I mean, that's the natural reaction, right? But it's not what Jesus was saying. As I said before the break, this promise of an abundant life comes set in a parable of a shepherd and his sheep who lived in a difficult and dangerous world out there in search of pasture, where thieves often came and wild animals came to ravage the flock, and where sometimes the shepherd had to lay down his life for his sheep. There's nothing easy street about that, I can tell you. But if we stopped and thought about this whole abundant life thing for just a little while and thought, well, if I want an abundant life, what would be right up there, right up on the top of my list, numbers 1, 2, and 3, I think we might come up with the same list. Righteousness, a right standing with God. Finally, the enmity between us and God is gone. Finally, the threat of eternal judgment is gone. Finally, we're where we're meant to be, back in relationship and right standing with God. It's righteousness. Peace. Is there anyone here who doesn't want peace on every side of their lives? The absence of strife. And joy. A deep delight that springs out of our relationship with God. A joy that transcends the ups and downs of life. A deep joy that's there 24/7. But right now, we're going to focus on the second one of these, peace. And again, remember, we're not talking here from a worldly perspective. We're taking a godly view. And that's exactly what Jesus instructed his disciples to do when he gave them his peace. He was about to be crucified. The disciples knew that. They were in fear for their own lives as well. It was a scary, scary time. They'd been following this amazing Jesus around for 3.5 years. The miracles, the teaching, the crowds. And now all of a sudden, the dark cloud of death hung over their decision to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to them, he says in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid." You see this peace, not from the world's perspective, not the way the world gives it to you. He says, take my peace, my deep inner peace, the security, the safety that comes from being one of Jesus' disciples, the sort of peace that sheep have when they're safe in the protection of their one true shepherd, the shepherd who's prepared to lay his life down for them. And the clear thing that Jesus is saying to them is, look, my peace isn't the same as the peace the world offers you. That's why your hearts shouldn't be troubled. That's why you don't have to be afraid. And as I've said previously, that promise of an abundant life, John chapter 10, verse 10, comes set in this story of a difficult, dangerous journey in existence of a shepherd with his sheep. It comes set in the realities, the cold, hard reality of life. And it's for that reason that you and I need peace, because life is not always what we want it to be. Without that sort of peace, we can't have an abundant life, can we? As I look back on my decade and a half now of walking with Jesus through thick and thin, through some great places and some places that look very much like that valley of the shadow of death that the psalmist talks about in Psalm 23, his peace is one of the things that I value most about my relationship with Jesus, a peace that lasts through every situation because it's his peace. It's his way, not the world's peace, the world's way. Paul the Apostle, in Philippians chapter 4, writes about a peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace from God that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you, I so relate to that, because so often this peace from Jesus just doesn't make sense. It completely defies logic and surpasses understanding. Because there are times when I should be afraid, I should be panicking, I should be running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But instead I have a deep peace. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's the peace that Jesus brings. Friend, it is better than any bauble or any trinket that this world has to offer, this deep inner peace from God, a peace delivered into our very beings by the Holy Spirit himself. And it's a peace that only comes when we first have a right standing with God through Jesus. That's why Paul, in his list of three things that the kingdom of God is about, kicks it off with righteousness first, then peace, because peace flows out of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus. And then once we have the relationship with God and the peace that comes out of that, the next thing, the icing on the cake, is joy. The joy of the Lord. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen. So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. You ask people this question, what do you want out of your life? And 99% of them will answer, well, you know, I want to be happy. And why not? After all, who wants to be sad all the time? Who wants to live out their lives in a darkness when the light of happiness beckons just around the corner? But, you know, happiness isn't always what life dishes up, is it? As much as we want to be happy all the time, it just doesn't work out that way. In fact, happiness can be elusive because it depends on our circumstances, things going on around us. I mean, we're not happy when we're sick or when someone's giving us a hard time or when we're struggling financially or when we're having an argument or a fight. I mean, you can't be happy at those times. So as much as it's something just about everyone aspires to, happiness is not all that it's cracked up to be. Happiness is linked to our circumstances. And when we say we want to be happy all the time, what we're really saying is that we want all of our circumstances to be favourable. Easy street, that's happiness. Well, my friend, life isn't like that. Mine isn't and yours isn't. We might have short times on easy street, but most of life is not like that. And so then we come back to looking at this promise that Jesus made about an abundant life. And it's easy to imagine it's a sham. It's an unrealistic promise, the sort that politicians make before an election, only to renege once we've voted for them. Now, I'm not saying all politicians' promises are like that, but you understand what I'm saying. In my country, at least, many promises are made during an election campaign that never eventuate. And so happiness is a bit like that, a mirage in a desert. It can be illusory. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Surely if I'm going to have an abundant life, just like Jesus promises here, surely I have to be happy, right? Well, in unpacking and understanding this promise so far today, we've been looking at how Paul the Apostle summed up what the kingdom of God is about. People back then, when Jesus and later the disciples were going around talking about the kingdom of God, well, people kind of imagined that it was something physical. There was the Roman Empire, that was the kingdom. But there'd been other kingdoms before that. So they were expecting Jesus to come riding in on his shiny white steed with his sword held high, leading a mighty army to boot the Romans out of Israel. That pretty much is what the kingdom of God kind of painted to them, the picture that they thought of. But Jesus had a completely different take, as Jesus often does. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Have a listen to this. Once, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." So when it comes to Jesus coming to this earth in order that you could have a life and I could have a life that we could live out abundantly, it makes sense to me not to look at it from that human perspective, the way the Pharisees were, but from the perspective of God's kingdom. And this is why we've been unpacking Paul's nutshell of what the kingdom of God is all about. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Paul writes, "For the kingdom of God is not about food or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Well, so far today on the program, we've looked at the first two of those: righteousness, a right standing with God that we live out in our relationship with him, and peace, the sort of peace that Jesus brings, the sort of peace that doesn't make sense, that surpasses all human understanding. But what about this third one? What about joy? You know what? I spent the first 36 years of my life looking for happiness. I left no stone unturned in my quest for this happiness thing. Wealth, a big house, expensive cars, marriage, children, status, career, fame, recognition, winning at everything I set my hand to. It was all about winning for me back then. Believe you me, I looked under every rock. I was persistent. And other than some fleeting experiences of happiness, I never found it. Why? Because unbeknown to me, I wasn't so much yearning for happiness, I was yearning for something much deeper, something more lasting and abiding. What I was after was joy. And joy is different to happiness in that it doesn't rely on our circumstances. It doesn't come from out there. Joy comes from within. From among us, from in our midst. It's a well inside us that bubbles up no matter what's going on the outside. I've experienced joy on some of the darkest days in my life. Now, you can't experience happiness at those times. To be happy, things out there have to be on the up and up. The sun has to be shining. But I've experienced great joy right smack bang in the middle of great pain. How? Why? Because it's a joy that comes from God, and that well never runs dry. Let's listen again to what the Apostle Paul wrote that the kingdom of God was all about. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is neither food nor drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." You see, the righteousness and peace and joy come when we're immersed in the Holy Spirit. They come from God through the Spirit, not from us. And Jesus describes how this works in John chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. Jesus was standing there and he cried out, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart will flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The joy of the Lord which comes from his Spirit within us is like that. It bubbles up and then it flows out of the center of who we are, out of our hearts, like rivers. Not a tiny little stream, not even a modest or large river, but rivers, a Nile and a Ganges and a Mississippi and a Rhine and an Amazon, rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit, with his righteousness, peace and joy, flows up out of us like a flood tide of blessing from rivers of living water into the lives of other people when we yield our lives, when we turn them back and live them for God. That's what the kingdom of God is. And do you know what this overflow sounds like to me? It sounds like life. in all its abundance. And that's exactly what Jesus promised. Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.